Cities and towns in Connecticut are getting the first round of checks from a new surcharge placed on mini liquor bottles smaller than 50 milliliters, aka nips. The money goes back to municipalities to address littering. John Salamone is city manager for Norwich, and he said the city received over $40,000 in the first round of payments. That money will fund a new job position that will oversee recycling in Norwich.
So this person will be in charge of making sure that we maximize our recycling programs and come up with some other ideas for enforcing it.
Checks will be distributed twice a year in April and October. Only six Connecticut towns will not receive checks because they don't have any liquor stores. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut-New York region. Connecticut's legislative session comes to an end tonight. Abortion rights activists rallied in New Haven yesterday, and Governor Hochul in New York has found a replacement for Brian Benjamin. Those stories and more to come. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut lawmakers end their legislative session at midnight. Democrats say it was a productive session in which they funded many programs and passed the largest tax cut in state history. Republicans say that more could have been done. WSHU's Ebong Udama reports.
House Speaker Matt Ritter says members of his caucus are confident that they're leaving Hartford with the state in good financial shape, even after spending $600 million in tax cuts.
The public should understand, right? $3.3 billion in the rainy day fund. We paid off almost 12% of our pension debt this year alone. That creates a lot of spending capital next year.
House Majority Leader Jason Rojas says lawmakers tackled a lot more issues.
Well, we've been really productive, particularly on environment bills, on mental health for youth, on a really solid budget that makes a lot of investments in Connecticut. It's been a good session.
House Minority Leader Vincent Candelaro says the session was productive, but because of issues pushed by Republicans. Those include a juvenile crime bill, government accountability, and tax cuts, which he said should have been as much as $1.2 billion.
We have a $4.8 billion surplus, and the Democrats said we're only willing to give back to the residents $500 million. A lot of that money came in through Wall Street. We should have given it back to Main Street.
These are likely to be campaign issues for lawmakers seeking re-election this year. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Abortion rights activists in Connecticut say they're distressed by leaks that suggest the Supreme Court will overturn Roe v. Wade. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports from a protest outside the U.S. District Courthouse in New Haven.
My body!
My choice!
My body!
My choice!
Hundreds of people, mostly women, lined the courthouse steps. Many held handmade signs as Rosalba Montoya led them in chants. Montoya is an organizer with Unida Latina en Acción.
Indignada. Estoy muy indignada, muy enojada porque esto no puede seguir pasando.
We are really frustrated that this is happening and we are not going to let this happen. And like, it's so angry for us that we don't have the decision of our bodies. We are in the streets and we are going to take them.
Pamela Ellman is an attorney for the Connecticut Women's Education Legal Fund and a volunteer escort who helps women access New Haven's Planned Parenthood clinic.
We do that because there are abortion protesters there harassing the patients when they come in, yelling at them, calling them murderers.
Ellman says that shows abortion access isn't just a problem for more conservative states that would be likely to ban the procedure if Roe v. Wade is overturned.
Just because we live in a blue state and our rights are protected in the Connecticut Constitution, women in other parts of the country don't have the same rights that we do. That's unbelievable. This is the United States. All women should have the same rights. It shouldn't matter what part of the country you live in. So a woman in Texas doesn't have the same rights to control her body as a woman in Connecticut. That's not right.
Connecticut's General Assembly passed legislation earlier this week to expand access to abortion procedures. The bill would also protect doctors and patients from being sued by other states. Governor Ned Lamont says he'll sign it. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Governor Hochul has selected a new lieutenant governor from the Hudson Valley. More on that coming up after headlines and a message from our supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
A federal judge has refused to order New York to hold its congressional and state Senate primaries this spring using district maps declared unconstitutional by state judges. The judge said a legal effort by Democrats to revive the maps amounted to a Hail Mary pass and would potentially trigger chaos. This comes after the state's highest court ruled that the district maps crafted by the state legislature were improperly gerrymandered to favor Democrats. Connecticut's General Assembly voted yesterday to give lawmakers and constitutional officers their first pay raise in more than 20 years. The bill included an amendment that would raise pay from a base of $28,000 a year to over $44,000 a year for Connecticut lawmakers beginning in January 2023. The bill was approved on a vote of 95-53 in the House and 23-13 in the Senate. Supporters say the low pay for what's supposed to be a part-time job has made it difficult to find people willing to run for office. Yesterday, a Starbucks in Massapequa became the first on Long Island to unionize. They'll join the Workers United New York, New Jersey Regional Board, which is an affiliate of the Service Employees International Union. Another Long Island Starbucks in Great Neck has been attempting to unionize too. Staff have filed 22 unfair labor practice allegations against the management there. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has chosen Hudson Valley Congressman Antonio Delgado to be her new lieutenant governor. He replaces Brian Benjamin, who resigned in disgrace last month. Karen DeWitt reports.
Today I'm announcing my nominee, my selection for the new lieutenant governor of the state of New York, Congressman Antonio Delgado.
The governor's choice of a new second-in-command comes 3 weeks after former Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin was indicted on federal corruption charges and resigned from office. And it comes less than a day after the state legislature, at Hochul's request, approved a measure to allow a candidate who is facing criminal charges or a conviction to withdraw their name from the ballot. That allowed the state's Democratic Party to nominate Delgado to fill the vacancy and become Hochul's running mate in the June 28th primary.
The Committee on Vacancies approved his name several hours ago. He will be on the ballot. And the only outstanding question is the exact timing of when he will resign from Congress. You know, give a little time for transition because he's very dedicated to his constituents and his team, and there's work to be finished before he assumes these responsibilities.
The governor predicted that New Yorkers will be proud of Delgado as they get to know him better, calling him a rising star in the National Democratic Party. Delgado, who is of African-American and Cape Verdean descent, grew up in Schenectady. He left to attend Oxford on a Rhodes Scholarship, graduated from Harvard Law School, and lived in New York City for a time with his wife and twin young sons, before running successfully for his seat in Congress in 2018.
It's just an honor to be able to stand here with you and do this work together. I'm excited to be partner with you and build a better future for New York.
Delgado and Hochul deny that the Democratic congressman, representing what is currently a competitive district, might face a tough re-election race this year. He was facing a challenge from Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro. Molinaro was the Republican candidate for governor in 2018. Delgado says he considers the post of lieutenant governor a promotion, and he says he welcomes the chance to interact with more New Yorkers, especially after 2 years of the COVID-19 pandemic and related lockdowns and isolation.
We need to reconnect and strengthen our collective bond as New Yorkers. We need to heal together and put humanity back into our interactions with one another. And I want to be a part of that healing process.
Critics, including Hochul's political opponents, have condemned the special legislation allowing Hochul to replace Benjamin on the ballot, saying the governor is willing to subvert democracy by changing the ballot access rules in the middle of the election cycle in order to save her political future. Hochul says her critics are wrong.
I say it's a subversion of democracy to allow the circumstance where voters are being asked to select someone who's actually said they're not running for office. I mean, that's the situation we had. And if you talk to anybody outside this universe, ask someone if they think someone who's already said they're not running, they have a legal issue they have to deal with, and that they're still on the ballot, no one would think that makes sense.
Benjamin admitted that he failed to tell state police during a vetting process last summer that he had received a subpoena. It was in connection with an investigation by the U.S. Attorney for New York Southern District. That probe later led to the corruption charges. Hochul says this time around, her staff is more experienced and has completed a more thorough background check of Delgado. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast and for sharing it with your friends. If you have any thoughts or story ideas, you can send them our way to news@WSHU.org. That's going to do it for me today. I'm Sabrina Garone, and we'll talk tomorrow. Thank you.